I will not have her tunnel banded around this office willy-nilly.
I can make that dream come true too, aka for you. Eat it out. There's people starving in the world, which I hate.
Oh, love me?
Pathetic.
Welcome to the difficult third series.
Yeah, we're back. You thought he'd got rid of us, but oh no. Back by overwhelming popular demand.
And
you've not been able to come out of your house, Steve. The fame and the...
It's just dangerous.
The press out there.
It's dangerous. I can't get out my door through knickers.
That's nothing to do with the podcast.
I really need to do some washing.
Yeah. Good start.
We're back to give you some what we're currently calling super fan episodes. We might think of a better name.
For now,
super fan episodes, where we'll meet some guests, some notable fans of The Office, and basically just have a chilled out chat about The Office, have some games.
Yeah, definitely.
And there'll always be a quiz.
We're free from the... not necessarily the shackles of the actual show, but we can be a bit more open in the discussion with everyone, find out what their knowledge is like all these years after the show, find out some of their favourite lyrics from the songs, favourite quotes, etc. And just share stories with each other about The Office, and I'm sure there'll be some nonsense spin-off like there was before.
As always.
But I know we finished on such a high with our insightful analysis.
Yeah.
The feedback's been incredible, so thank you for sticking with us. And hopefully you'll enjoy this next series and some different people's opinions, and not just us rambling on for hours and hours. Really selling. Yeah,
if you interact with us and we think you might be a laugh, you might even find yourself on the podcast. So
yeah, if you want to come on, you're more than welcome. We'll talk to anyone.
We'll be taking CVs.
Yes.
Applicants apply to @outofofficepod_ on Twitter, or you can give us an email outofofficepodcast@gmail.com.
Exactly.
So today, to kick off the first ever superfan episode, we've got Suze Kempner, wonderful comedian, wonderful stand-up singer, absolutely incredible Christina Aguilera tribute act. She's also a podcaster too. We're a podcast, Mystery on the Rocks, where Suze and two other comedians solve unexplained crimes whilst drinking cocktails. It's a bit like a alcoholic Morse. And she's just finished a show in Edinburgh, Mega Drive, where she talks about a love of computer games and notably Sonic. She's currently showing those in London at the minute, so her dates will be on her website.
Yeah, I'm sure she'll be able to tell you about where to go and find her after. But let's say hello to Suze.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Oh, yeah.
Hi.
This is completely organic.
Yeah. Definitely. This isn't pre-set up at all. Yeah. So our first guest of the Superfan series. Hopefully you're not feeling too much pressure for what's about to come. And are ready to share all of your thoughts on the amazing series that is The Office.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Thanks for having me.
We're just like Vic and Bob and one extra one, so it's fine. It's, just three chilled out entertainers having a laugh.
Yeah, just getting the job done, whilst having a laugh.
When I was 30, I thought I was on a rubbish podcast. Nothing good ever happened to me. Things wouldn't change.
We'll take that.
I do remember Office quotes.
Amazing. I was going to say, do you have any... it's difficult to say, I guess, if people haven't revisited the series recently, but any kind of memories in there that stick in the brain or that resonate with you when you hear the series?
It's a funny one. I haven't revisited the show in a few years, actually, but me and my brother have a shorthand with Office quotes.
Oh, amazing.
So I think it aired when I was about 16 and my brother's a couple of years younger than me, so we were a perfect age to you'd record it when it was on and then watch it all week.
Yeah,
yeah.
The episodes off by heart in those days. we still will say, because the regime don't like it. But like, that still comes out, and I will, you know, it's just part of our vernacular, but that's an office quote. And we just use it in everyday conversation.
It's definitely, I think...
I said the other day, someone said, do you resent... I can't remember who it was about. It was like, do you resent so-and-so? And I immediately went, the man or the boss? And I've got that... That's just been living at the back of my brain.
It's just there, isn't it, ready? And I think when you meet someone that you can share it with on that level, it is incredible. And that's certainly been a highlight for me over
it's
the
last
year.
It's a great icebreaker. If you meet someone and you nail an office quote within the first couple of minutes, you know that you're going to get on with that person.
Yeah.
You know they're on your level.
Definitely.
Yeah. If when you meet them, they go, shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why do you want to work here? Why do you want to be on the podcast? Shoot.
Have you got a particular favourite episode or scene?
It's a bit of a cliche, but the Christmas specials, I think, are some of the best TV ever made. Some of the best British TV ever made. They're so tightly written. It's clear that Stephen Merchant and Ricky Gervais loved those late 90s, early 2000s docu-soaps that were so massive. Like, is it Driving School? That was one.
That comes out a lot.
Maureen was famous because she couldn't fucking drive. And Jeremy Spake off of Airport.
Yeah.
I think about him quite a lot.
I'd forgotten those, but reliving The Office has made me got those back.
It's a good question. They obviously watch those to death and would talk about them because they have nailed the form so perfectly. So that anything now that is, a mockumentary of one of those docu-soaps, it's always going to be compared to The Office because that's sort of the benchmark.
Definitely. Yeah.
So that's an interesting point. I was having this discussion earlier, funnily enough. We're talking about This Country. And we're saying, you know, I don't think this country would exist without The Office, and that goes for a lot of those sort of shows. And it's such a blueprint on how to make comedy genius, like People Just Do Nothing and things like that. You know, they wouldn't be around without The Office.
Yeah, it's the interaction with the interviewer, isn't it, and the television angle of it. The kind of lens, getting that right, I think, is key. And those shows definitely do that. But like I say, The Office was definitely the leader in that format.
For sure.
Absolutely. I mean, Ricky Gervais kind of invented a style of acting that to be careful. I do stand-up and I do some improv. I'm really bad at it, but I'm in a very bad improv troupe. And you find yourself, God, I'm lapsing into... You know, David Brentism, all that. You find yourself doing all that. I never would have done that without watching The Office, but he sort of invented that.
Yes, it's like you say, it's just there in the brain, isn't it? It's ingrained in the psyche now.
Because we'd never seen anything like it. I know that Ricky Gervais often cites Spinal Tap. Which is obviously early 80s. It's from way before The Office, but Spinal Tap. And The Office are different beasts.
Oh.
I fear maybe The Office wouldn't exist without Spinal Tap, but they're different in that Ricky Gervais's character of David Brent we had never seen anything like it before, yet it's completely familiar to everybody.
I mean Spinal Tap, it's a rock band, you know, it's very it's very kind of out there, whereas an office, you know, millions of people work in an office with a Gareth, with a Tim, with a Dawn. And, you know, I think that's the reason it resonates with so many people, purely because he is the everyman, you know, he is that guy that wants to be famous, but really is just a bit of a div. But a lovable div. So
he's our div, isn't he?
Yeah.
it leads fluidly onto the question of real life in terms of yourself. Have you ever had that experience with a real life office set up like that? Have you had to endure it in your work life as well?
I spent From 2012 to 2017, so yeah, 5 years, I was working in the archiving department of a law firm.
Wow.
That was my day job while I attempted to make some sort of career happen. I was able to go full-time 2 years ago, but I was there for 5 years. And I was always so detached from the job. I would basically say, if anyone went, "Are you having a good day?" I'd be like, "No." No, I'm here. I don't want to be working here. I made it clear that I didn't want this job. And everyone kind of just got used to the fact that it's like, yeah, that's Suze. As soon as she gets some decent acting jobs, she'll be having it.
<She can't. laughs>
And they were perfectly nice people, but how they felt about the job used to blow my mind, because we were doing the same job in archiving, but they cared about it. And I just could not. They'd go, "Oh, we need you to find this file, and it's under this number, but it's not in," and then I'd spend 2 hours in the deeds room looking for it, and I go, "Oh, there it is," and bring it down. If they found it, if they had that sort of thing, and they'd go, "Right, I need to locate this file," they would come back with it like they'd sort of found the lost city of Atlantis. They were so excited to have found this file, and I sort of envied them that they cared. it really resonates how Tim was feeling.
I really respect the people that give literally zero fucks. It's brilliant.
Publicly as well, it's brilliant to just not care.
I think if you polled most people completely anonymously that did a lot of jobs that were office based, that were admin and whatever, and you said to them, "Do you enjoy your job?" Not in front of their boss or their colleagues, but you said to them, just basically, "Do you enjoy a job?" A lot of people say, "No, it's a means to an end. It's boring.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be here, but I have to, and I put on this face."
That's it.
It's fair.
Yeah. I mean, when we spoke to James Buckley,
it reminded me of James Buckley a lot.
He was exactly the same. Same lunch every day. Go in, do the job, go home.
Yeah.
No messing about. And it's completely fair enough.
It's almost Brent-esque in pursuing the the limelight career outside of it. Although he actually cared about his role.
"I'm not like you people." It's like, "No, Suze, you're David Brent." "Hey guys, I'm not really an archivist. I see myself more as a chilled out entertainer."
Yeah.
I used to just sit there with my headphones on all day listening to podcasts. Doing the work, like I got the work done because it was real easy. if anyone had said, "I don't think you should wear your headphones at work," I probably would quit the job because I can't sit here
in silence. Yeah.
It's terrible. What an entitled little twat.
it's true though. I mean, you look at even in the office, you look at some of the scenes and they're just tapping away. And it's really quiet. Yeah. And I've worked in open plan offices myself, and it's the worst thing in the world. Everyone can hear your conversation. Everyone pretends that they're not listening, but they are.
Yeah. Because there isn't anything exciting going on in the job. As much as they can say finding a file that someone requested that wasn't where it should be is exciting, it wasn't. So they were right gossips.
You can't be a bit of gossip.
And they didn't understand. They didn't get me at all. The reason I was there is because they were very flexible with when I could be there, and I could show up whenever, and then I just sent my hours in at the end of the month to get paid. And so if I had an audition, and I wouldn't be there till the afternoon, I'd come in and go, "Hiya, oh, where you been? I had an audition." And they'd all look at each other like I said, I've been in space. It blew their mind that I was, "Have you thought about going for X Factor?" That would come up quite often.
Oh, I bet. Anyone that sings at any level, you've got an X Factor, you'd make millions. You'd be, touring the US this time next year.
The best way to make any money out of X Factor is be terrible, I think.
Yeah,
it's true. It'd be like the other end of the scale.
And then you've got at least 4 years of panto if you're nice to work with. A panto company will take you on each year, and you can go on stage and do whatever your catchphrase was when you were on the X Factor.
You've got novelty singles and everything, haven't you? Genuinely, that's not a bad idea.
We need to probably rethink this,
yeah.
But we had in the last series, what was it, making money out of slips, trips and falls at train stations. And now I think Panto, after an X Factor appearance, could be
it's
next
an honest,
year's.
Yeah, it's quite, it's a more honest living.
We're just looking at ways to make decent bunts.
Tested on the X Factor.
It's just all about the bunts, yeah, exactly. See what Simon Cowell can offer. That's where it's got to, unfortunately.
I mean, we wouldn't be able to do the podcast with yourself without talking about, again, bringing in your performing background and leading nicely with the singing and the whole...
Right.
You've worked in this office, but you've also obviously had other jobs, notably Iron Apple and Christina Aguilera.
Yeah, so 5 years previous to joining that office job, So that was a step up. I spent 3 months in Iron Apple as a Christina Aguilera tribute act, and when I tweeted about it in the end of May of this year, it unfortunately turned out that was the most relatable thing I'd ever put on Twitter, and it went extremely viral. And now that's kind of just me now forever.
It's not bad.
Like,
it's not a bad way
like
to be.
Like Maureen on driving school, she's never been a shit driver. She couldn't change lanes in her Lada in the 90s. She's forever immortalised with that. That's me. I'm now always going to be known as the Christina Aguilera tribute.
Does that bother you?
No, it's fine. No. I'll take it.
I'd be pretty happy with that, I think. Is there like a standard kind of like absolute floor filler, like crowd pleaser Christina Aguilera? It's got to be, what's the Christina Aguilera banger? It's got to be Dirty, isn't it? Yeah, it's got to be.
Dirty, oh yeah, Grubby.
Yeah.
When I did it, that was Grubby. Yeah, Dirty. She had some great songs, actually. When I was out there, it was 2007, and the big hit at that time was Candyman.
Oh, yeah, it's great. I love it. I feel like there, could be some kind of rebirth of this potentially.
Yeah, bring back Christina.
Christina with foregone conclusion. Support, that'd be good. Should we try a hand at some snog, marry, avoid?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. No, I'll take
Try and understand the psyche of the characters there. So basically, in this series, we will be throwing three characters, doesn't matter the gender, which 2019, so there's no...
We're all God's children.
Exactly.
You know.
Of course. So, a wide spectrum.
And everyone knows the game from our childhood of the Snog, Marry, Avoid. And it was a BBC Three TV show for a bit, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
I remember that. Oh, they used to have that weird robot thing.
Yeah.
We're going off on a tangent.
I remember that, yeah.
I can't remember what... Show. That was really weird. It used to run really late. I can't remember why I was watching it.
It was just a freak song. Anyway.
So, three characters this time.
I feel like it was long enough ago, either, to be honest, because it feels like something from another era entirely.
It's
a stupid programme.
That's frightening, actually.
It wasn't that long ago, because I can't remember what her name was, but someone else... I'm not getting into this.
Should we do a podcast on it?
Yeah. Pod, marry, avoid.
Pod, marry, avoid.
Perfect. It's done. It writes itself.
Right, we've got this. Right, let's stop recording so no one else can steal it.
do you want to give two names? I'll give one.
Sure. I'm going to go, obviously, Chris Finch.
Chris Finch.
Finchy.
Okay.
Okay, Finchy.
I'm going to go with Keith, I think.
Okay.
Big Keith. Interesting.
Macintosh.
I want to try and stay away from like the mainstream character, so to speak. I might go Oliver, is it? Oliver is known as the office black guy.
Oh, yeah. He found it funny.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've got Oliver, well done. Finchy and Keith. Well, I mean... I feel I'm going to marry Oliver.
Okay.
Because
he's got that air about him, I think.
He seems like he's got a good sense of humour. Love David Brent's brilliant joke.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy. He's a bit of a heartthrob in the office.
Well,
yeah, there is that famous line. Yeah.
You know, but there was a bit of a love triangle going on. And
absolutely.
I quite like the idea of being the envy.
I love it.
I'm marry Oliver. I think I'd snog Keith. because what an anecdote it would create. I'd probably do a whole Twitter thread on my kiss with Keith.
Well, we've had a debate about Keith, haven't we? Because obviously his famous guarantee of one orgasm.
Well, that's true, yeah. And from just a kiss.
Yeah. Happy days.
Also, I bloody love a Scotch egg.
Well, if that's not going to swing it, then what will?
Maybe like you could Lady in the Trumpet.
Yeah.
Or with a Scotch egg. That might be different.
They're walking away from a Scotch egg. It'd be very beautiful.
There is the argument.
And imagine the crumbs.
Hopefully I won't need to imagine.
Oh, that's...
And then obviously avoid Chris Finch and make a big deal about how much I'm going to avoid Chris Finch.
I'll do a big
speech about it because he deserves everything he gets and I want him to feel terrible.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much the perfect lineup for that. Yeah, I'm really happy with how that's turned out.
Yeah, I'd say you pretty much nailed that.
Yeah,
that's
I can't wait for my mum to meet Oliver. I think she's going to really like him. It's great.
I mean, we might be able to make it happen.
Yeah.
Oliver, if you're listening. I don't know his real name.
If you're out there listening, mate.
Yeah, exactly. We were trying to find Howard, weren't we, from Halifax?
Yeah, he's disappeared.
Right. We managed to track him down on Twitter, but...
I bet still. He did some panto.
Oh, yeah, for sure, 100%. Matt,
definitely. You would have milked it. You would, wouldn't you?
Well, if I'm wanting advice off him, it'd be about mortgages.
Brilliant.
You're the wanker, mate.
That, do you know what, that's genuinely one of the, every time I hear someone call me a wanker or call someone else a wanker in that vicinity, you're the wanker, mate, if anyone is. Every single time.
Yeah, if anyone is.
You have to get the if anyone is.
Yeah.
If you don't, if without the if anyone is, it probably doesn't work, does it? But it's
so good, isn't it, because it's the sort of thing you couldn't script, but they did script it.
It's unbelievable.
They absolutely nailed dialogue that sounds like that docu-soap conversation.
Well, I mean, we've just finished doing the Christmas specials, and I mean, we probably repeated ourselves infinitely about how we think it's the, like you said earlier on, it's the best British, you know. For me, it's not even in a sitcom or even a comedy. It is some of the best British TV. Simple as that. Any genre, any era.
A modern classic.
It's so perfectly concluded as well. You know, you've got, everyone gets their just desserts. It's...
Especially Finchley.
It's the perfect season finale for a show that had relatively few episodes.
And it's interesting, when we spoke to David and he mentioned about that it was only two series, he said how different it is to the Americans, where a bit like with their Office, they'll milk it for 17 seasons, whereas...
As long as it's still making money,
exactly. Whereas I think it's quite honourable, I suppose, from Ricky and Stephen and the whole team that created it, is when they said that they simply couldn't go back to it. It was that perfect that two series was all it needed, and if they went back, they'd only tarnish the reputation of it. And I think that's completely fair enough.
We've had some similar emails about the podcast, so the difficult third series is kicked off now.
The problem is we didn't have much to ruin in the first place.
We'll be fine, I think. we'll pretty much do okay. Well, I think you've absolutely nailed Snog, Marry, Avoid. Obviously, if anyone's listening, you're more than welcome to add any justification for another reordering of those.
Absolutely.
On Twitter, you're more than welcome to get in touch. I don't want anyone to get in touch and abuse you for it. If anyone's got any alternatives, you're more than welcome to send them.
I'd be really interested in hearing some of the listeners' justifications and rationales for their decisions.
I think Finchie might split the vote. I think there's a 50-50 on
the thing is with Finchie, he's a massive knobhead, but at the same time, by all accounts, at least from what we hear, is a top shagger. So, you know, is this...
Only from him, though.
Yeah.
You could have a chat with him, because he does read a book a week.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it'd be great to settle down in the evenings with, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Think of, and it's, you know, and it's all the subjects as well, all the ones on the board.
On the Trivial Pursuit.
You know, it's an interesting guy.
I remember watching, because that's in the first series, isn't it? I can remember watching that episode and... just he's really sneering at Tim because Tim went to university, because obviously that makes someone like Finchie feel very inadequate.
Yeah, very threatening.
And he goes, heard about Blockbusters. So obviously he is shitting himself that he's not going to win this fucking quiz, because Tim's doing it. And I can remember watching that and being like, oh, that's obviously a thing. Mm. People get intimidated if someone went to university and they didn't. And I've had it a lot since, and I find it very weird because I don't think I'm anything special because I went to university. Yeah. You do meet a lot of people who are like, I actually worked for a living. Like, good for you. I think that's good.
Like, yeah, it's like don't.
Yeah, it's a funny thing.
It, don't attack the argument. Attack the man in it. True, yeah. Ad hominem. Just yeah. you're a snowflake and a waste of space.
So that's the first time I saw that behaviour, and then
it's literally everywhere now.
The first time it then happened to me, I went, "Oh, that's Chris Finch. That's he must have felt like this person."
There you go.
Got a problem with me because I did a media degree. Like, mate, I couldn't feel less of a success than I already do. I promise.
Nothing wrong with a media degree, is there?
No, not at all.
Degrees are degrees.
They're very valid, and there's a lot of work that comes from them.
Exactly.
I live with my mother.
We can cut that bit out. It's fine.
No, leave it in. It's real.
Just cherish her. Cherish her. You'll miss her when she's gone.
Oh, that's good.
Can we stop talking about my dead mother?
Brilliant. Good. Well, safe you say you've passed the first test. Should we go... We tweeted out before we started recording about another feature we want to run this series, which is Brent Against Humanity. Again, I think everyone is probably familiar with Cards Against Humanity by now, aren't they? It's not really anything that we need to introduce.
It's pretty mainstream.
Yeah, it's basically just how horrific can you be. But we'd like to put an office spin on it. So we tweeted, and we've got the phrase, "The school trip was completely ruined by..." blank. And we've had, to be fair, some good responses. We've had a little giggle at those, but we wondered if you had one that particularly you think was fitting to finish that phrase.
Oh, for me? Okay. Oh god, the school trip was completely ruined by a rape up there. that's Cards Against Humanity.
That's really
that's
good.
About the level,
I'm a bit annoyed that I didn't think of that.
That would do it, to be fair.
Yeah,
I'm not sure that school trip would survive.
Yeah, it would definitely make the news.
A bad school trip. What were some of the suggestions from listeners?
So we had from JP at Joe Purcell 91. He said that the school trip was completely ruined by slugs, little slugs with no personalities. Well, that's pretty good.
Where's that from? Who says that?
That's when Brent is...
He's talking about Swindon Lot.
Swindon Lot, yeah. Talking about him with Neil.
Oh, is he?
The little slugs. No,
that's about them. Oh, that's... okay. Oh, that's really funny.
Mark...
Now I must go back and watch The Office. Cause I don't
exactly, yeah. There's an excuse. Mark Donnelly has said the school trip was completely ruined by the sword of Damocles hanging over our heads. I like that one. Stephen Liddell's probably the best so far, I think we've had. Is Eric Hitchmo. So Hitchmo's got involved in the trip.
Fiona.
Fiona, we've had a big pair of tits. So in my opinion, we'll probably enhance the school trip, but you know, each to their own.
Well, you're getting on to shady ground there, aren't you?
Well, no.
A big pair of tits on shaky ground could create quite an image.
Absolutely.
So,
hey, I'm such a lad.
Lads. Have you got one? I think they've been pretty good. I'm disappointed that I didn't come up with a rape up there. Eric Hitchmo has definitely spanned me.
It's phased you.
I'm not sure where I would go now. I'll try and think of something like one of Brent's philosophy ones, but I can't really think of anything I can character based to get in.
Struggling.
There. What you got? Anything you can throw in?
My first instinct, and I don't know what this says about me, but it was the school trip was completely ruined by a black man's cock. Which again, I thought.
He was laughing at that.
You don't have to mention the car.
Yeah. Could just say cock.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That would ruin a school trip.
Definitely would.
Well, I'm sure we'll keep those coming in.
I see
in.
It as like a detached one. It is literally, they found it on the school bus. Who's it this?
That is getting dark.
a dismembered penis on the school trip. Yeah.
Love that.
Probably time to end it there, I think. On that one. But yeah, thanks for everyone who sent those in at such short notice. I'm sure we'll do a few more of those on our Twitter. So yeah, look out for them.
It'll be good fun. I'm not just saying this because you are our guest, but I probably do give you the win there with a rope up there.
I think so.
I'd say.
I think that's fair.
Eric Hitchman made me laugh, but yeah,
rope up there is very strong.
Funny. Yeah,
it's the first time rope up there is ever going to win any awards. I would have thought.
It's only one situation where it could.
Yeah,
I'm not sure whatever.
It's fairly niche.
Rape is fairly niche.
I just thought of another thing from The Office that always comes up. Whenever Tony Blair shows up on some news programme, like he's still in office, going, "Here's what I think everyone should do," I always post that picture, a screen grab of David Brent going into the office with that dog.
Great man, great
don't
dog.
Don't work with you anymore, Tony. That's what it always reminds me of.
No one wants to go for a drink with you. No one wants to have a meeting with you.
Thursday's good.
Well, he says that, he says about Neil. Next you'll be saying Nelson can't come in here either. He can't come in here.
Taking out on animals.
Get that. Admits it.
there's
so many great lines.
My brother got married in Scotland, and when he went, I said, "Where are you going to get married here, or are you going to get married in Scotland?" Because his wife's Scottish. And he went, "I'm going to go to Scotland." And I went, "Oh, might rain."
Hope not.
Instant. The office, there's an office for every occasion.
Absolutely. Genuinely, we've said this before, there's very rarely a moment in life or a conversation that you couldn't feasibly put an office quote in.
No, you know, everywhere.
Yeah.
There's,
it's not bad for, 14 episodes.
It's, yeah.
That's
it's,
true.
It's not bad at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just whether they're the person you're conversing with gets it or not, as to whether you then go on a kind of roller coaster of just.
Isn't it weird when you meet people who go, "Oh, I don't like The Office"?
Yeah,
what's wrong with them?
I find it really weird.
Immediately.
That means you are like someone who would. Everyone, they probably are Chris Finch. I find that as well when people go, "Oh, God, I hate Alan Partridge."
Oh.
I just think, "Oh, you're not getting it then. You can't get it."
Yeah, there's a certain level of intellect to our comedy, isn't there? So it's it's not even like have a respect for it, for its place in.
It's
yeah, it's weird to say it's rubbish. Like we get it all the time. The US office is way better. The UK office is rubbish. It's everyone's entitled to their opinion, but you're wrong.
The US office, because I have seen a few episodes of it. It's fine.
It's just not the same, is it?
But I've never had the urge to watch it from start to finish. It's actually way better. That's really weird. It definitely isn't.
Yeah, it's just different, isn't it? I guess it's not.
Yeah.
It's just not the same show. It may as well be called something different.
It's probably really offensive to think it, but I'd say it probably, from what I've seen of it, it doesn't seem to have anywhere near, funnily enough, the intellect of the UK version. It doesn't have that kind of. That little nuance that it has, it's very sort of cliche American, open and shouty and all that, where you don't get that with the UK one.
I think it very much became quite traditional sitcom formula with it's really lovely performances and it's funny, but I think they probably had to do that because I don't think, Stephen Merchant and Ricky Gervais definitely didn't want to sustain 24 episodes a year of Our Office.
It
would have ended up really diluted, so they probably had to go, right, our main focus is this slow burn love story over seven seasons or whatever with their Tim and Dawn.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's true. I think it's just different shows for different countries. Different shows, better. Different audiences.
There you go.
Yeah, it's definitely not better though. I think
no chance.
If you say that, you're entitled to your opinion, but you're wrong.
You're wrong.
Agree to disagree. No,
we
will agree to agree.
Yes, I'm using that. I'm stealing that.
If I'm in fact tonight when I get home, I'm going to search out the US office, and anyone on Twitter that's tweeted about the US office being better, I'm just going to tweet them that clip. So we'll agree that you agree with me.
Don't at me. I love it.
So should we do
some music? Or do I do the real quiz?
We'll keep the quiz to the end,
I think. Yeah, I think the quiz is a good sign off. Yeah. Like the lap, isn't it? Keep them in suspense like they do on Top Gear. I mean, on a show that we haven't started the format at all. Cool. So we've got, it's very aptly named, Biddly 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 Mong. Because, of course, of Brent's amazing, lyrical performance in Equality Street.
Why are you like with the Brent music?
How's your knowledge of the album?
I'm a big fan of Foregone Conclusion.
Amazing. Yeah. This could be good. So,
before we start, have you got a particularly favourite song?
Oh, I mean, it's got to be Free Love Freeway.
Yeah, that's true. You know, fair.
Well, it's a very obvious choice, but what a funny song. It's that perfect thing where the gag there could have been that, oh, look how shit they are, but Foregone Conclusion weren't shit. They were a perfectly serviceable, now out of date band that took themselves too seriously, probably.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know bands like that. Every hometown had their band that was going to be massive, and that was Foregone Conclusion.
I've got no doubt at all. Genuinely, if they released Free Love Freeway as a single with no backstory, with nothing to do with Gervais, and it was just faceless band, I still think that would have got in the charts. Well, I think it's an absolute tune.
That's the beauty of the even the album musically, it's brilliant, and it's they're like little toe tapping songs. You get them, you know, you sing along. They have the melodies and everything, fantastic. Brent's performance as a singer is pretty good anyway. He's pretty good at singing, isn't he? And that it's just, he seems to,
his lovely cover of If You Don't Know Me By Now.
Oh, amazing. We still want to release that for Christmas, don't we?
Yeah.
Maybe you can help us out. Maybe Christina Aguilera makes a side show. No.
He also did a beautiful rendition of No Woman, No Cry, remember?
Cut that out.
Oliver, the office black guy, he loved it. So there's your racist.
But yeah, I think he nails the kind of cliched songs about love and about making a statement about Native Americans. And
I mean, it's
it's just so cringeworthy. It's brilliant. They're hilarious. And don't make fun of the disabled.
Yeah,
I mean, what a great message, but actually terribly offensive.
Yeah, please don't make fun of disabled. It's a guilty pleasure, but it's an incredibly important... what a great song.
Because you never can tell with a wheelchair one.
So
just give generously to all.
Give generously to all, yeah.
It's like perfect performative wokeness, because he's...
Exactly that.
You see it on Twitter all the time.
He was so ahead of his time.
Yeah.
David Brent on Twitter, that would be something.
Oh, I'd love that.
Oh. So
I think we've actually got it, because Ricky Gervais on Twitter is... It's not his finest hour.
Yeah.
I'd love all the accounts like Tinder Luck Brent and those sort of things. I think they're genius.
Genuinely genius.
Brilliant.
And again, nobody seems to get it, and it's brilliant when they don't get it, and they just play that off.
That's one thing. There's nothing better. We obviously run our office podcast account, and there's nothing better when you get into a Twitter spat just using office quotes, and someone's coming back at you not knowing anything about the show. It's one of the most simple yet pleasing things I can do. I just get lost in it.
So satisfying. always ends with, how can I hate women? My mum's one. just walk them into that corner.
You're the wanker, mate, if anyone is.
If anyone is. So for Biddly 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 Bong, are we going to have we'll probably get a jingle in, won't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get that edited in after, I'm sure. We'll just play a little bit of a song from Brent's album. And all we want you to do is just say the next line, just a test of the album.
Okay.
This is basically like...
Or make up your own one that's even funnier.
This is like a shit version of Nevermind the Buzzcocks, isn't it?
Or what was that? There was that Saturday night quiz show where they had to do it as well, wasn't it? Sing the next line of the song.
Oh, don't. I think I remember that. Just
There's something about tonight. It's reminding me of all these old TV shows that used to be guilty pleasures. Okay, so
there wasn't there one with Suggs, right?
Yeah.
Shows just singing karaoke, and then the track stops. We have to keep singing the words.
That's it. That's exactly the one. Yeah.
This sort of thing makes me feel a little bit uneasy.
Oh, that's brilliant. I'm hoping you feel empowered to sing along. So, right, let's go. So. Here we go. Hopefully you can hear this okay. So here's the first bit. Let me take you down the quality street. You never know the people you meet. At the end of the street is a golden gate.
I don't know, but I forgot that it was a political reggae song.
The reaction when it came on was brilliant.
I don't think I've heard that.
Would you like to hear it one more time?
Since it first appeared on the horizon, I couldn't tell you the next line, but I'm delighted to hear it again.
Would you like to make one up?
Should we give you? You've got hate. It's quite an easy rhyme, I think.
Okay, we'll
play it again, and then we'll pause it, and we'll let you crack on. This could be funny.
It's gone again.
Amazing.
It lets in love, it don't let in hate.
Yeah. Yes.
Nailed it.
Are we ready? Here we go.
Let in
love, it don't
let in hate. No. There you go.
That's incredible. That's one from one. And what a great song.
Yeah. A great message.
It's catchy. That's an earworm.
Oh, you'll be listening to the full song later. It's one of those.
I can't wait. Yeah, that's driving music, no problem.
It's one of the ones where you sing along and you think, what am I saying? This is just wrong. But it's born out of some kind of incredible love for, you know, peace and unity. But just wrong. that's amazing. So that's Snog, Marry, Avoid smashed. Yeah. Biddly, 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 bong smashed.
In a way.
So I think you've done really well there. To hear it twice and get it right, that's really good. Very impressive.
So I suppose now the only thing left to do is to go into the real quiz.
This is the real quiz. And we could end with a your shit ah.
Or a screw blockbuster.
Or you could be coming back with a screw blockbusters.
It's so perfect that David Brent and Chris Finch are a quiz team, and their whole thing is they quote the dead parrot sketch from Monty Python. It's the most witless thing that someone can do. Not the sketch, obviously, because it's amazing, but someone who really thinks that knowing the words to a well-known Monty Python sketch is equivalent to having a personality.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's almost like caught in the office and thinking you're cool. But we are really cool, right? Amazing.
Right.
I'll let you be the quiz master.
Right.
That's the real quiz.
So question one. Nice, hopefully an easy starter, especially for someone in your field. Who sang In the Summertime?
Is it Mungo Jerry?
Yeah,
it is Mungo Jerry.
I only know that because of the office.
So do I. That's true.
See, informative. It's not just insane. It's educational.
Educational as well.
Edutainment.
I like it.
Okay, that's one out of one.
Phew. I'm not going to get a fat zero.
No.
Number two. Yep. Where did David Brent's single "If You Don't Know Me By Now"? Where did it get to in the UK chart?
Oh, God.
That's a good question.
It's going to have to be a guess, but it's something like 220.
you've underestimated him. He got to 113. Which...
He's got a big box of them in his garage.
Yeah. I bought five of them.
Five of them.
I mean,
They're for your mates.
I don't know anything about charts and that sort of thing, but 113 in the charts, how attainable do you think it would be to get that as two random divs releasing? I mean, have you got any idea at all what kind of figures you'd need to get to there?
It's all changed now, how it happens, isn't it? Because they take live streams and stuff now. But I think in those days, when the when singles weren't really selling, but it was still taken on the amount of singles, I remember hearing from someone that you can basically get into the top 40 if you sell about 1,000. So those days, maybe if you sold about 1,000, you would be like, you could have had a number 35 hit.
Wow.
I'd get that put on my gravestone, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Imagine that, breaking the top 40. I'd be buzzing with that.
Yeah, imagine that. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, what a story.
Sunday nights.
I mean,
incredible.
I'd have to change getting into the top 10 UK podcast chart.
Yeah,
I'd have to take that out. But
yeah, you know.
That's very impressive as well. That shows, isn't it? People love The Office.
Well, we like to think so. We like to think that
they love you and they love The Office.
Well, we don't like to say it, but in a recent poll of Office podcasts,
bang,
we may have come out on top, but that's their decision, you know. If that's true,
c'est la vie.
excellent.
Okay,
so we'll go barreling into question three. What was the name of David Brent's production company?
Fuck. I can see it though, because I can see the little caption on the bottom left hand corner of the screen with him in that stupid white outfit. It's not going to come to me.
It's going to be one of those.
It there, but it's
kick
not
yourself.
Come to me.
Yeah, it is Juxtaposition Records.
Amazing.
Oh, they're so good. Oh, good writers.
Okay, question four. In the first series, David welcomes Donna to the office, and he, during the meeting with the staff welcoming her, he mentions the name of her parents. What are the names?
Oh God, no. I know exactly who you're talking about, but no, this is why I should revisit the show.
That's a tough one.
Tell you.
A little clue, it's Stephen Merchant's real life parents' names, if that helps.
Okay, yeah, I mean...
Oh, definitely get it now.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's everyone knows. Everyone knows Mr. and Mrs. Merchant.
It is Ron and Elaine.
Ron and Elaine.
He's a bloody big bugger as well.
No, he's a cuffer, he's a bloody big bugger. To be fair, after looking at these are probably a little bit harder than I expected.
I did think they were tough. It's a good standard.
A true fan would have got it.
No, not necessarily.
Okay. Again, this is a tough one. I'm not even sure. Well, I think I might have struggled. But right, question five. There are two nightclubs in Slough. Can you name both of them?
Oh yeah. Is one called Shakers?
Oh, it's very close.
That's not, is it? There's King Henry VIII.
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
There's
Henry VIII.
Oh, God, what's the other one?
You're almost there with it. Shakers, but not quite the right word.
Chasers.
Yeah.
Chasers. I'll give it you.
Chasers.
Okay, we'll give you that.
Okay.
Smashed
Chasers
it.
King Henry VIII, because it's got Excalibur and Dugget Hampton Court.
There's
See, that's really good knowledge.
Yeah.
That's good knowledge.
Henry VIII's closed.
That was a deep delve into my brain that I had that. I kept that in there. That's worth having.
Henry VIII was one of the ones that closed. Currently open in Slough, there's Chasers and New York, New York. The club that never sleeps.
Oh!
That closes at one.
Yeah, of course. Right. Tim was looking back at King Henry VIII with fond nostalgia.
Wouldn't you?
The nightclub that never sleeps, that closes at 12.
You're the Anne Boleyn Alley. Yeah. I've got this one, I will admit, is slightly niche and is a little bit difficult. So,
right.
So, what is the word that Gareth uses when Tim's stuff is spreading over onto his desk? He describes it as one word, two syllables.
Oh, I'm struggling with that one.
Invade? It's a guess.
It's demarcation.
Two syllables.
That's what he says.
Oh, yeah, I'm with you now.
I'm disappointed in you, Sam.
That's escaped me, that one.
Do you know what? I'm looking at these and I'm starting to think I've been a bit unfair here.
I hope this high level of... I don't know if anyone would really know that last one. That's really harsh.
These are deeper than I expected. And to be honest, this one's probably worse.
Oh, no.
Okay.
In the training episode...
Yeah.
David Brent gets in Rowan to help facilitate the session.
Yeah.
Where did Rowan get his MBA?
Oh my god.
I do know that one. But only because we've rewatched that scene about a million times doing this.
It's an incredible scene. Oh god,
Care to guess?
I don't know.
UK town in the north.
Is it somewhere in America? Is that...
No, it's northern.
Northern town.
Sheffield?
Close.
Not far up. It's Bradford.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's a big reach.
Yeah, I told you. I'm sorry.
Never apologise.
We've got...
Never apologise, never explain. Do you know what I have been doing today when I could have been rewatching The Office? I got stuck into... BBC Parliament, because Parliament's been prorogued, BBC Parliament showing in its entirety 1959 election night. And it's riveting for some reason.
Why the hell?
1959, was that like a vintage election year?
It was quite a vintage year. It was the year Thatcher first got elected as an MP.
There you go.
See.
That is dropping some knowledge.
60 years.
Wow.
That's incredible. I love that they can put reruns on BBC Parliament.
Love that.
I call it Brexflix.
Brilliant.
It's Thatcher Week. Okay.
A Thatcher Brent mashup would be quite cool.
Oh, Christ. Can you imagine?
Thatcher and Brent. He'd probably have a little bit of admiration for her.
Ah, yeah.
I can imagine. He's got that kind of Alan Partridge thing where he'd...
I think
probably
it'd be
quite admire Thatcher.
Because she's
I
a
think
woman
that
as
makes
well.
Him quite feminist.
Because she's a woman, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, what's this? The ninth question?
I'm not doing well, I'm sorry, guys.
Who is the male applicant, or what is the name of the male applicant that doesn't get the job?
I can see him with my eyes.
Robin Ince. Yeah.
It's
Stuart Foot.
Stuart Foot. What a name.
Is it Robin Ince?
It is.
Robin Ince,
Robin.
It must be a really long time since I've watched The Office, because I now know Robin Ince, and I have done for ages. So we might be looking at 10 years since I've sat down and watched The Office.
Wow.
Because I'd spot him and go, it's Robin.
Well, in that case...
Maybe we need to get Robin on.
This is incredible.
I think the quote that, like you say, that just still ingrained in there, and the way that they just come, you know.
If you've not watched it,
I'm slightly scared. Really? I'm scared at what my brain's retained.
The media degree's gone, but the office is in there.
You need to know how to write a script.
Okay, so the last question I've got is at the season one finale episode at the party. What is the prize that David references at the end of the party that's in the raffle?
Oh, that's a difficult one as well. It's a really tough.
I'll give you a kick. He said if he won it, he'd probably put it back.
It could be anything.
A bit of office stationery. Well, is it stationery? You'd find one.
Equipment.
Yeah. We'd go office equipment.
Yeah, I don't know. Is it a computer or something?
It's a printer.
That's not ringing any bells. A printer.
A printer.
Oh, if I want it, I'll probably give it back.
because he's such a nice guy.
Yeah.
He's just an all-round sweetheart.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I think after reviewing those and actually feeling slightly guilty that I've made a few that are a little bit deep there.
I think you've got to give bonus points for King Henry VIII.
You'll have super fans who will listen. Who will be screaming the answers.
I know, but they'll be real freaks.
Nice. Don't act like that stupid bitch. Why did they have her on?
I know, but I think it probably says a lot more about them than it does about you.
Imagine the kind of the Venn diagram of one circle is they listen to us anyway.
Yeah.
And then the second one is the retention of all of that information. You put the middle ground there is, yeah, that's,
tell you what, that's a very special person. If those questions had been about the election night 1959, I'd have got a 10 out of 10.
Exactly. See, if you'd have asked me 10 questions about that, I'd be lucky to have got two, you know. So
I wouldn't have a clue.
There you go.
Absolutely no chance.
It's funny, they're all smoking. They're all on the telly just going, but now we go over to Eden and find out the results there. They've all got fucking cigarettes.
What a time to be alive.
Absolutely.
They cut over. Who are they talking to now? It's still on mute. They're talking to someone who's just been elected in Manchester and he sat with his wife. And they've got a full ploughman's lunch in front of them.
Oh,
and
incredible.
It's like 1 a.m. where they are.
Sam's surname is Tyack. And yesterday, just out of blind boredom, if nothing else,
right.
I Googled, because someone asked, is Sam's surname Polish or something?
Right.
I Googled the origin, and it's a Cornish surname that means ploughman. There you go.
Ah, so there you go.
It's like podcasting meets who do you think you
like
are?
Yeah. Real old bit of Cornish dialects.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah.
So from now on, I'm going to affectionately call him Pickle.
What do you mean from now on? All it does is reinforce what you would call me.
Polish Jewish. We're all Polish Jews, but it's Polish for jousting champion.
Wow. That's amazing.
When I found that out, I was like, oh, gutted everyone. It's a really, really rare surname, and I guess that's why, because there's not that many.
That is incredible.
Champions.
Yeah, but that's awesome. I mean, have you retained any of that skill set?
I do ride. My mum is a professional dressage rider.
Wow.
Been brought up around horses.
There you go.
Despite humble beginnings.
I'm a semi-professional jouster. Yeah. Just at the weekends.
Not enough to earn a living.
I think dressage. It's like one pointy stick away from being jousting. So
yeah, that's pretty strong. The only jousting experience I've got is we used to go to the village fete, and there's a little like slide with a little ride on horse. You'd go down and get the rings.
Ah, okay. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, you're from the Cotswolds, aren't you?
So we're sounding like a Peter Kay routine now. Bit of jousting down the
face. Garlic bread.
You've been down super jousts.
He said, Craig came off the horse. He said, he's definitely dead. that's incredible. Well, I mean, I'm sure the clip about my surname will make it through.
When you said it was quite personal information and revealing, I have to say, I was a little bit disappointed with.
Surname's not.
It wasn't personal enough.
Surname's not really a big scoop, is it?
I know, but
we have tried to retain some anonymity in this because, you know, it's.
I can't deal with the hate anymore. Yeah,
it's just the trials,
oh,
isn't it?
Oh, God. Tell you what, because I went from, with my Christina Aguilera thread, I went in 5 days from like 5,000 followers to 25,000, and all the wankers that I picked up.
It's just, yeah, the keyboard warriors.
Did you get people that were following you just to abuse you?
Yes.
That seems so weird to me.
Piers Morgan retweeted it, and he's got however many, he's got, you know, 2 million vapid twats following him.
Yeah,
he's like
but
the...
he, I mean, he just retweeted it because he thought it was funny, so he retweeted it. But, oh, God, the awful replies I was getting from people going like, because I put a picture up of myself when I was Christina Aguilera, because it's a really funny picture. It looks like it was taken in a Romanian prison or something. And writing underneath, I'm going to use this to, when I get an unwanted erection in public, I'll look at it, my dick will go straight down.
Jesus Christ.
To be honest, mate, good.
Yeah.
Why would you need to comment that?
I'd rather it was that way around, but also... Piss off, you little shit.
No,
with your 14 followers.
one's life is enhanced by sharing that.
I guarantee that that person's profile picture will be an anime character or something equally stupid.
Like a cross, St. George Bulldog or something like that. One of those.
And their name will be like Simon CFC 569431. And then it's mostly just retweeting Nazis.
Yeah, exactly that. There's lots of lots of that. Piers Morgan definitely incites all of that as well, which is a problem.
He loves it, doesn't he? I think if I was him, I would go, maybe I should change my act.
Imagine if one day he just came out as really feminist.
Piers Morgan's a terrible human being, and I'd love to not see him on any form of media ever again. But he's got more of a brain than the people who have made him their spiritual king.
Exactly.
And he must look through the replies on Twitter and go, these people are awful.
These are my fans.
He goes home and he looks in the mirror and he hates himself.
That's kind of where we are, isn't it?
This is audience, isn't it?
Sorry state of the world.
2019. We should go back to 1959. Exactly. Time.
Yeah,
when
smoking.
Election night was just lots of identical men smoking on television, interrupting each other constantly.
Well,
that's what it's been like.
Love that.
I think that's great. Suze, honestly, really, really appreciate your time. Thank you so much
for
spending some time with us.
I hope you've enjoyed reminiscing about The Office, and you're going to go away and rewatch it.
I am. I think I'm going to put it on right now because I cannot watch any more election nights. This is ridiculous. 60 years ago, Suze, you've got to move on.
You're living in the past, man.
If there is one time to let it go, I think 60 years is probably enough.
Enough water has passed under the bridge.
There's only so long you can hold on to an election night that you were over 25 years away from even being born
when it happened. Very
true. Maybe this time when I watch the whole of 1959's election night, this will be the night that Macmillan loses.
You're only saying what we're all thinking.
Everyone's got that. If anyone does want to come and follow you on Twitter and learn about 1950s elections or what you're up to,
I've been tweeting it all night.
Where do they need to go?
Suze UK, SOOZ UK.
And also your
follow me. Explain my jokes back to me. I love that.
And also your own podcast, Mystery on the Rocks.
I have a podcast called Mystery on the Rocks, which I do with two brilliant comics, Chris Stokes and Masood Miles, and we have a guest on every week and we drink cocktails and try and solve a mystery. Guests have included Nick Helm and Nish Kumar, and coming up we've got Milton Jones, Jen Brister. So it's a lot of fun.
It is very, very good.
I think we should start drinking when we do this.
You start. Dr.
Pepper's normally our. It's my tipple.
What's your
tipple? But yeah, maybe drink. Maybe cocktails away. What's your favourite cocktail? What's your tipple?
That's a good point.
Oh, we had one that was called a Sweet Sunrise. I can't remember what was in it, but I downed it real fast. It was good. And we had another one called The Godfather. Again, can't remember what was in it, but I remember the effect it had, which was amazing.
That's the main thing about cocktails.
After I drunk that, if I remember rightly.
It definitely loosens you up.
For me, cocktails all taste the same anyway, so it's the effect that's the most important thing.
They're not worth a tenner, really.
I don't think I'm drinking the right cocktails, to be honest.
I normally go for strength.
Mystery on the Rocks, Masood is an excellent cocktailier. Ooh. And he will create something magical for you.
Sounds good.
There you go. For the next one, we'll do some cocktails.
Fantastic. Awesome.
Perfect.
Guys, so yeah, go follow Suze, go follow Mystery on the Rocks, and definitely stay in touch with us. And if you've got any suggestions for Brent Against Humanity, any lyrics, any snog, marry, avoid alterations on the suggestions, then please do get in touch.
If you just fancy challenging Suze to a joust.
Yes.
Anyone can come to the Surrey Sussex area.
Fantastic. There you go. That could be maybe the next event, event.
I think so.
For Patreons, jousting and cocktails.
Would you be up for that for our Patreons? They get one free joust with you.
£50 per joust.
Yeah.
£50. That's all right, isn't it?
provide a horse. They have to provide a horse.
Okay. Well, that's still, that's pretty good value.
Yeah, bring your own horse. That's to be expected. Yeah.
We'll provide the jousts.
Yeah.
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 There you
go. Okay. Cool.
Yeah, so, provide the jousts. Yeah, there we go.
I feel like we need to go before we commit to anything.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, thank you so much. I'm glad you've had a good time as well. Cheers.
See you soon. Bye bye.
Bye.
Thanks, guys. Thanks. Have a good night.
And you. Bye.
Well, what a start.
What a beginning.
An absolute banging start. Suze has absolutely smashed it. I think you were really horrible to her on the quiz.
You reckon?
Those difficult questions.
Yeah. When I was writing, I was thinking, you know, these are challenging but doable. And then when I was reading, I'm thinking, not normal people shouldn't know these.
The difficulty is now because there's a competitive edge to it, and we're going to be, you know, ranking them. We've got to keep the same standard.
Can't get any easier.
Everyone's got to have this level. So I guess if you're on next, then you've got a bit of an edge because you know the kind of stuff, the level that you've got to research to. But I think Suze did pretty well. The knowledge of Henry VIII, that's good. That's strong to remember that.
Fair play.
So yeah, don't beat yourself up.
She said a couple of times that she hadn't watched for 10 years.
Exactly. It's just there.
I mean, that's fair fucks.
That's the that's the level of cultural kind of ingrainment in the brain that the office can have.
Is that a word?
No, but we won't worry about it. They won't know if you don't tell them.
They won't remember.
Nah, they won't remember. So yeah, I mean, if you want to go and tell Suze what a great job she did, then you can get in touch with her on Twitter at SuzeUK. That's SOOZ for anyone that's wondering how to spell Suze. Obviously don't forget to tell us what a great job we're doing as well.
Just a couple of listeners telling us what a great job we're doing.
Exactly. We'll be back very soon with the next one. The next guest is lined up and ready, and all will be revealed very soon. See you soon.
Take it easy.
Is free and the freeway's locked. I got some hot love on the hot love highway. Ain't going home cause my baby's gone, she's gone. Free love on the free love freeway. The love is free and the freeway's long. I got some hot love on the hot love highway. Ain't going home cause my baby's gone, she's gone. Yeah, my baby's gone, she's gone. Yeah.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.